Well, amen. And again, happy Mother's Day to everybody. Before we go any farther, I didn't ask permission about this, so I'm not going to mention a name, but I want us all to pray together for a mom that is going to have a child in about 3 weeks. The child needs to turn, okay? Can we all pray about this situation? Yeah, let's pray. Lord, we want to lift up this young mom and want to pray, Lord God, that you really do something divine, a miracle where you, Lord, where you would turn that baby so that everything is going to be just fine. We pray that anyway, but Lord, want to pray that you do turn that baby. And so, Lord, we just want to pray for health for everybody involved and that it's a joyous occasion. And Lord, we ask that you would do a miracle in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen, amen. Okay, great. So in thinking about today, Mother's Day, I'm really excited about this Acts series, ACTS, the book of Acts that I started last week, and I thought, well, we'll honor moms today. I thought about what we've done over these many years that I have been here, and sometimes there's a Mother's Day message, sometimes there isn't, but we always honor moms. And so I began to work on a message from the book of Acts that picked up where I left off last week. And I got about a quarter of the way through it. And man, I just wasn't feeling it. I was like, this is not going anywhere. I'm not sensing anything here. And so I just began to, I sat back in my chair, I remember, and I thought, all right, who are some moms in the Bible? And thought of different ones. I looked online, looked at different moms, and I landed on a story that many of us know, but I don't know that we've looked at it in quite this way, because I began to think of the mother of Moses, who is, her name is Jochebed, and it's an amazing story of an amazing person. And when we go through this story, normally we think about Moses because of who Moses became. And so I'd like us to look at the book of Exodus. We're going to look at chapter 1 and chapter 2. Some of it will be on the screen. And I am super excited about this because once I got into this, I was like, we don't look at her. What she must have been through. And it's so exciting to see what God did. So here we go. Verse 8 of chapter 1 of the book of Exodus. It says, now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. Now, as we know, Joseph was a great influence over the land of Egypt. Remember, Joseph had the coat of many colors. Joseph went through all kinds of terrible things, but he ended up through the grace and power of God being just this great influence over the land of Egypt. This is Old Testament. We're not talking about Joseph and Mary. We're talking about Old Testament Joseph. And so it's about 1400 B.C., and this new king didn't know about Joseph, didn't care about Joseph, disregarded everything about Joseph, as this says. And verse 9 says, he said to his people, behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to afflict them with heavy burdens. They built for Pharaoh store cities, Pithom and Ramses. Okay, I really want to give a background to the story that we're going to look at today. what was happening in the land of Egypt. And as what happens many times with oppressive governments in our world, leaders become afraid of different people groups. They're afraid of them becoming too strong. They're afraid of losing authority, and they're afraid of losing power. Now, listen, I'm not talking about the United States, though our country certainly has had and always will have its faults, because we're just people, you know. We're just people. But I would not compare us to, say, communist Russia, communist China, Hitler's Germany, parts of Africa like Rwanda, many other totalitarian countries that literally have murdered their own people, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people. And that's what we're talking about here, mass murder. So these leaders oppress the people at the very least, and they kill many at the very most. And that is how they deal with certain people groups that they are afraid of. And that's what's happening in this story. And this is history. Verse 12. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied, and the more they spread abroad. This is speaking of the Hebrews or the Israelites. When I refer to Israelites or Hebrews, it's the same thing. Okay? Just so you know. And the Egyptians were in dread of the people of Israel. So they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in all kinds of work in the field. In all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves. Okay, so this is bad. This is bad. They have caused all of these Hebrews to become slaves out of fear. But the worst is yet to come. And in verse 15, then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, when you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, she shall live. So the next portion, verses 17 through 22, describes the midwives who, it appears, feared God and are honored in this story and are chosen to be mentioned because of their bravery and courage. But they did not kill the male children as they were ordered to do so. And the Israelites became stronger and stronger. And because of this, Pharaoh decides to go even further and that every son that's born is to be thrown into the Nile River. So these are the circumstances surrounding the Hebrews at this time, before we go to chapter 2. Now, isn't this a happy Mother's Day message so far? Doom and gloom. Well, it's all right. Well, it gets better. It gets better. So we're on Exodus chapter 2, verse 1. Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. Now remember, just imagine if you're in this situation and every male is to be killed and thrown into the river. And moms, I have not gone through what you have gone through to have a child, but I can't even imagine all of the pain, the anguish, all that you go through to have a child and bear a child and have this on top of it, that this child might just get thrown into the river. Okay. But when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took him from a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. Now, I'm not going to try to describe all this. I'm not even exactly sure what all this is, but I do know this. She tried to make a basket that would float. Okay, that's the bottom line. So I'm sure she was frightened, heartbroken to have to put her child that she loved so dearly in a basket in the river. Okay. says she put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the river bank. Okay? So she didn't just put the baby in the river to float wherever. She placed it in the reeds. Hopefully it wouldn't break out of the reeds and start floating down the river. And it says his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river. So I'm going to say that this is, it doesn't say this, but I'm sure that the mother of Moses, and we will learn her name is Jochebed, knew that the daughter of Pharaoh and her attendants came to the river at a certain time. She probably knew this, just guessing. Okay, verse 5. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." So this is such a classic case of the sovereignty of God that though terrible things are happening throughout the world at that time, through that country, God causes Moses to be saved and taken in by a person of wealth. And just know that when God has something in mind and he wants something to be accomplished, it will be accomplished. It will happen. And we see that in this case. Exodus 2, verse 7. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Now, this is very sly, if you think about it. Okay? She doesn't say, "Let me take you to the child's mother." She just says, "I can find somebody who can nurse this child." And now, think about this. Somehow, Miriam, Moses' sister, she speaks to Pharaoh's daughter. Now, I don't know how that happened, but it happens. Somehow, she speaks, and she's no one, to Pharaoh's daughter. And again, the sovereignty of God. And verse 8 says, "And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the girl went, called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.'" Okay, I don't know if you've ever thought about this before. In an extraordinary turn of events, the child's older sister, presumably Miriam, organizes a foster home. And Pharaoh's daughter hires Moses' mother as a wet nurse, and Jochebed, who in faith put Moses in the water to be saved, is going to be paid for raising her son. What a twist. It's amazing. It is so amazing. Here, she's just doing whatever she can to make sure that her newborn child lives. Not only is he going to live, she's going to get paid for nursing him. God is amazing. And think about this one. Pharaoh ends up supporting one of those that he condemned, the one through whom God would bring about what Pharaoh sought to prevent, which is the mass exodus of the Israelites from Egypt. Pharaoh actually funds this in a way of this person that's going to lead all these people out of there. God's amazing. He is good. All right, verse 9. So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. Now, I can't imagine how difficult this must be for Jochebed, who after in faith saving her son by putting him in the Nile River, having him return to her miraculously, and at some point has to give him up again. I tried to research how old Moses might have been when he was given back. It's hard to say. Probably back then, from most of what I read, they would nurse a child, you know, till they were fairly old. Could be 2 to 3 years old, something like that. It's hard to say. But she may have understood that God had a plan for Moses to have saved him so miraculously. And she also knew that he would be taken care of. It's also possible that Pharaoh's daughter saw the child regularly. It doesn't say this either, but it's possible. Just to make, you know, get to know the child, she wanted to save the child. She took a big risk. And Jochebed probably knew her because she probably would visit the child. All right, Exodus 2, verse 10. This is Pharaoh's daughter that does this. It says, she named him Moses because, she said, I drew him out of the water. Okay. This is pretty amazing. Pharaoh's daughter actually names Moses. And in Egyptian, it could mean child of the water or born of the water. And in Hebrew, the name Moses means to be drawn out of the water. So it's pretty similar. And Moses' deliverance as a baby from the reeds of the Nile River, it foreshadows an even greater deliverance from the Sea of Reeds, which is the Red Sea. The Red Sea is also known as the Sea of Reeds. And remember, Moses, by the power of God, takes the children of Israel through the Red Sea. I mean, I have never thought about this. I wonder if Moses might have thought about his own name when he's standing there praying to God, Lord, what are you going to do with these people? We have to cross the Red Sea. And he knew what his name meant. I just started to think about it. I wonder if that helped him with his faith. Like, my own name means drawn out of the water or child of the water. Was this part of his destiny? Well, today on Mother's Day, I want to bring out just a few thoughts from this story. And I think that there's something here for all of us, male or female. So, guys, I think there's some things in here for you as well. And I just have a few points here. First one is that Jochebed had faith in God to protect Moses. Now, the book of Hebrews in the New Testament is where I'm going to go because this is mentioned in verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So Jochebed and her husband were listed with these other people in the hall of fame of the book of Hebrews with all these other people, you know, with Abraham and Moses and, you know, Samson and all these people that ended up having this great faith, they were listed. They were listed. He was no ordinary child, another translation says, and they recognized that the hand of God was upon him. The second thing is that she raised three amazing children. Think about this. Think about these three children that Jochebed had. She had Moses, of course, who became the leader of Israel. You have Aaron, the high priest, and Miriam, the prophetess. Now, don't want to leave the dad out here. His name was Amram, so I'm sure he played his role there. But obviously, her faith in God kept her strong through all of the sacrifices that she had to make. Now, Aaron was the first high priest for the Israelite people after crossing the Red Sea and escaping Egypt. And he's Moses' brother. Miriam led the Hebrew children in song after they went through the Red Sea. remember this. I'm going to read this, and it's going to be on the screen. You may not have thought of it this way. This is Miriam. This is the sister. Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand. So she was a worship leader. And all the women went out after her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea." Now, of course, we also know about Moses, the great humble leader of the Israelites. These three children are all from the same mother. I mean, what a trifecta. I mean, that's amazing to me. Number three, in an act of sacrifice and faith, Jochebed gave Moses back to Pharaoh's daughter. Now, I'm sure she loved Moses very much, but she didn't get in the way of the plan of God for his life. She allowed him to go back to Pharaoh's daughter to be raised as a prince. Now, I mean, think about it. It's not mentioned. I'm kind of having to fill in some gaps here. But she could have tried to escape. She could have tried to hide. It doesn't appear that she did. Moses, in time, refused to be known, the Bible says, as a son of Pharaoh's daughter, but to be a part of his original family, the Hebrews. And he was mostly raised by Pharaoh's daughter. And this comes straight out of Hebrews 11. And I'm sure that part of what Moses ended up doing had a lot to do with his original upbringing. If he was as old as 3 years old, he had that instilled in him when he was very young. And I'm sure that his mother and father had something to do with that. So sometimes in life, motherhood or fatherhood, we have to let go of our kids. I told of a story, I think I told it last week, of the time that I had to let go of both of my kids at different times and let them decide for themselves if they were going to know God, and not just because that Teresa and I told them or that they had heard it in church all their lives. And I had to let them go. And that was hard. But I think it's much harder, especially in this case, when there's all kinds of situations where moms have to let their kids go. And I just can't imagine the heartbreak, especially when they're 2 to 3 years old. But it happens. And when Jochebed let go of Moses, she had to have faith that God would take care of him and that the principles that she and her husband had instilled would stay with him. All right, number four. This is my last point. God will use others to help raise children in different trying circumstances. Okay, how about Pharaoh's daughter? Pharaoh's daughter. She took a big risk in keeping Moses alive, then paying his own mother to nurse him. Then somehow he's eventually raised at the Egyptian court as part of the royal household. Pharaoh's daughter obviously loved Moses and she cared for him. Now, if you're like me, I'm a big fan of the old Ten Commandments, you know, with Charlton Heston as Moses and all of that. And if you want to watch it, you might get some popcorn ready. You might just block out 5 hours or whatever it is. I mean, it's about the longest movie you ever saw. And the whole thing's really interesting, but boy, they go through the whole story. And, you know, they present this, and I probably would too if I was making the story of Moses and all that took place. Of Pharaoh's daughter and how she loved Moses, and she had to deal with Moses' actual mother at some point in the story, the way the Ten Commandments is told, and it's very possible that could have been. Now, and again, I don't know how she hid this whole thing, that Moses was actually a Hebrew and he was supposed to be killed, thrown into the Nile River. She must have kept it under wraps somehow. I don't know how all that went, but she did it. Now, maybe you have been a mother to a child that was not your own. Maybe it was out of necessity. And I know lots of people who have had to take on rearing others' children. And there are all different kinds of situations. I mean, I don't have time to go through all the different kinds of situations where you would actually, maybe for a short period of time, maybe a long period of time, be needing to take care of someone else's child. I mean, grandparent, foster mother, maybe you've adopted children. It just has to take extra grace to be able to lovingly raise others' children. And by saying this, I know that many of you who have been put into these trying circumstances consider these children your own, some of you who have raised them, and I applaud you for that. And there are a lot of lessons to be learned from the life of Jochebed and the birth and eventual care of Moses. But the bottom line for me, as I have went through this and thought about this a lot, to be appreciative of all mothers. And there's so much that you have to go through. There are so many joys. Now, I have witnessed this firsthand with my wife. Lots of joys. It's great. There's hopefully more good than bad, but there are definite low points, many sacrifices that you must make, and it doesn't just stop when your children leave the house. As a father and a man, I want to personally thank you, and we all as a church are honoring you today for your sacrifice, just like Jochebed, who sacrificially loved and cared for her children. And in this extraordinary instance, she sacrificially loved and cared for God's chosen servant, Moses. Isn't that a great story? I love that story. And as I was standing even up here this morning and thinking about today, for some women, today is a tough day. For lots of different reasons. Reasons that I don't need to all go into. There's all different kinds of reasons why it could be a tough day, whether it's wayward children, maybe you've lost a child, maybe you haven't had children. I don't know. So Mother's Day can be a tough day, but I'm glad you're here today. And through it all, there's the grace of God. And he can heal us. He can give us faith for our kids. And he can walk us through anything that comes our way. Not saying it's going to be easy, but he'll do that. Now, Teresa, would you come on up, and if you would? And I'd like my wife to lead us in a prayer. And if the worship team would come up, then we're going to sing a song here in a minute. So go for it.
Thank you, hon. That was such an inspiring story. I hadn't really looked at it like that. And I was just thinking, putting myself in Jochebed's shoes. And I'm thinking of, as moms, we make sacrifices. Some sacrifices our kids know and people know about, but a lot of the sacrifices that we make, nobody ever really knows. But God knows. And I just thought this was such an inspiring story because, you know, when she gave Jochebed, when Jochebed gave her baby, her little boy, to that princess, it wasn't like she could just run over to the palace at any time she wanted and be like, Moses, remember what we taught you, right? She couldn't do that. She had no place to walk in there. All she could do is just trust God that he had a plan for his life. And it really made me stop and think, because when our babies are little and our kids are little and we're taking care of them, they still do what we tell them to do, right? most of the time. But when they get older, we really have to give them over to the Lord. And only He can work out the plan that He has for their life. So be encouraged today, because God has a plan for your kids. He has a plan for your life. And it's our job to trust Him in that and to believe all the way till we are done with our story. So let us pray. Father God, I thank You. I thank You, Lord, for this family that are people of faith. Lord Jesus, they had this child that they protected, that we all protect our kids. And then, God, when they couldn't protect him any longer, they had to trust You. And so, Lord, I just pray for each one of us, Lord God, that whether it's a child that we have to let go of or just something in our own life that we need to let go, surrender it to You and trust You that You have a plan and that it's good, that we get out of Your way. So, Lord, I thank You. I thank You for all the mamas. I pray for joy and peace and everlasting hope in their heart as they surrender their children to You. And we thank You for this day. We honor our moms. Lord God, bless them. Be with them. And we just thank You for the honor and the privilege it is to be mothers and to be Your children. We love You, Lord. Amen.